Welcome to the Awakening Podcast Network. Get ready for an inspiring audio from this cutting-edge voice. You can find more podcasts at awakeningpodcasts.com.
You want to go deeper? Get equipped to overcome and walk in God's purpose for your life at Awakening House of Prayer's online campus. You'll experience an online family, preaching, teaching, and prophetic impartation for victorious living. We have over 1,000 members online, hungry for what God is saying and doing in the earth. Visit ahop.online today and join our family. AHOP TV empowers believers with spirit-inspired messages and strategic equipping that accelerates your spiritual growth. You can subscribe to stream weekly content from Awakening House of Prayer, conferences, and other exclusive content to stir your hunger and encourage your heart. Visit us online at ahop.tv.
Well, welcome to Women on the Rise. Today we have quite a subject to discuss, and I'm really looking forward to hearing your comments, your prayer requests, your insights, things that you have learned about this, because it is on the subject of the LGBT community. And I think these days you can add a Q, Z, you know, other letters to it too. It just keeps growing and growing. But in a nutshell, it is, you know, about sexuality. It is about gender perceptions and that. And it is a big subject. And especially within the church today, there are questions like, how do we approach this community? And of course, love has to be number one. But Michelle, how are you, you know, feeling about today's subject? And what are your thoughts?
I'm so glad we're addressing it. It doesn't matter what mantle that you wear. The lining of that mantle is love. And we've got to know how to bring that heart of God to everyone. And this is a community that has felt such rejection from the church, and then extrapolated that it's felt like a God rejection to them. Mm-hmm. And that breaks my heart.
Right.
Because God's heart is always to meet us right where we are.
Right.
And we don't have to get cleaned up before we come to God.
Right.
Right. We give our hearts to Him and then allow Him to do the work in us.
Right.
But we are the heart, eyes, ears, hand of Father God.
Amen.
And to be rejecting of anyone who is already struggling, feeling, I mean, no one chooses this. No one says, oh, you know what? I think I'm just going to, you know, have identity, you know, issues inside my core and my sexuality to not be, you know, approved of by my families and those kind. No one chooses this.
Well, there's so much confusion in the day that we're living in, because even media, you know, like you cannot watch a television program today without there being some inference concerning homosexual or transgender activity that is being promoted. And
right.
So a lot of the young people today, they are actually choosing it because it's trendy, or it's because it's, you know, it's appropriate according to culture. But I guess the big dilemma that we have to look at today is what does God say about it? And how do we face this? How do we deal with it in a God-like way?
Right.
Because, you know, when you're outside of Christ and you are living in this lifestyle and you're deceived by it, that's one situation. But what about when you're already a Christian and you know the Word and you've been raised in the Word and then you choose it? What about that? Mm-hmm. What do we do with people who are homosexually embracing the lifestyle and in the church? Like,
right.
What do we do? I mean,
right.
There's a gamut of questions, right? And I'm not pretending to have all the answers. I do know one thing for sure, though, is love is the answer.
Yeah.
But we speak the truth in love. And God loves every human being, no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, no matter how we present ourselves. He loves everyone with a perfect love. And that's, I think, what we have to, you know, as you were saying so eloquently earlier, that's what we have to embrace. But we want to introduce you to a gal in our network, Ashley Little. who actually came out of the lifestyle, is serving God today, and is really bringing God's love into that community. So let's listen to what Ashley Little has to say.
Hi, everyone. Hey, Patricia. Thank you so much for inviting me on here to help encourage you guys on how to love the LGBTQ community. My name is Ashley Little, and I'm the founder of the Greater Love Ministries. And I want to first let you guys know that about 16 years ago, I had a radical encounter with Jesus where he pulled me out of lifelong bondages to sin, including homosexuality. And I want to give you guys two keys in this area of loving the LGBTQ community. The first one is we have to know what we believe. If we don't know what we believe, what are we going to offer? We have to know what the Bible says about healthy sexuality. And the Bible is very clear that God created man and woman in his image, and he created healthy sexuality to be between one man and one woman in the context of marriage. But he's also very clear about what he feels and what he thinks about those that are struggling in their sexuality and in their gender identity. And he loves them deeply. And the Bible is also very clear that God transforms, and he loves to do so. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And I'm here to testify to the amazing, powerful, transformational power of Jesus Christ in my life. And he's still doing amazing work in my life. So we have to know what we believe, because if I don't know what I believe, and I'm going to camp over here thinking that maybe God did create them gay, maybe he does bless homosexuality, then guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep people in their sin, and I'm going to keep people in bondage. But if I'm also going to be over here where I don't know if God transforms, then what hope am I going to be able to give to people? But if I can stand on the truth that God created man and woman in his image and that God transforms, then I'm someone who can not only share the gospel of Jesus with people, but I can also be someone that can provide a level of hope to them that where they may have been hopeless. So guys, we need to know what we believe. The second thing is that this community needs our prayers. We were in Gay Pride Phoenix this year doing an outreach, and the number one key that God gave us was pray for this community. The level of deception on the earth right now is profound. And so the keys to praying for these guys is pray for the deception to be removed off of their minds. Pray for the blinders to be removed off of their eyes to see the truth of the gospel, and pray that their hearts would be softened. They would choose humility and turn away from pride. And guys, I'm telling you, this community needs our prayers. So if we can be people that can stand on the truth of Jesus, that can grab his heart for this people, that can choose to love according to his love in 1 Corinthians 13, and that we can offer hope of healing and transformation, and knowing that it doesn't come easy and it doesn't come quick, but God is faithful to do it, and we can war for this community, oh, what we will carry as the church and what God will do through us is going to be profound. So here's some quick keys for you guys. I hope it was helpful. And so it's been a pleasure to be able to speak with you, and I hope you have a great day. Thank you, guys.
We are created in his image. And where there is that deception of identity in us, God is big enough mm-hmm. to bring things back into the right place in us. And without a doubt, it is the most important thing is love. In this.
I know, because a lot of times, like, you can speak the truth, but if it's not in love,
right,
then it actually hurts the person rather than offer salvation. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that that we can't judge, really, if we can't save, mm-hmm. right? The mm-hmm. Bible teaches, right, don't judge anyone or else it'll come back on you. So mm-hmm. if we can't save, we have no right to judge. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is the Savior, but we need discernment. And I remember one time sharing with a young man at the time who was in a gay lifestyle. And he said, "Why do you Christians hate us so bad?" Mm. And I said, "Oh my gosh, hurts. I'm so sorry that you feel hated." And he says, "Yeah, you just say we're doing it all wrong and God doesn't love us and we're going to go to hell and all that kind of stuff." And I thought, oh my goodness, mm-hmm. it's just not the way to represent God. And so I said, "You know, I am deeply sorry for the way that the body has treated you. But for me, I said, it's not that I hate you, it's because I love you. Mm-hmm. And God, He is your creator, and He wrote a handbook on if we live according to His ways, we're going to live well. Mm-hmm. And everything that you need is in the handbook. It would be like owning a vehicle, and you've got the creator of that vehicle that wrote the handbook on it. You can't violate the use of that vehicle like my young son did when he was 15 or 16 years old. He took his 4x4 vehicle into a creek, and we got a call saying, help me, you know, my car's not working. Well, it's because he violated the usage of that vehicle. So we had to get it towed out. He had to pay a lot of money to get it fixed. He learned some good lessons from that. But you cannot violate the way that you were created. And if you do, eventually it is going to hurt. It is going to destroy you. So I was sharing that with this young man. He said, I've never thought of it that way. I said, you know, if you were drinking a glass of, let's say, water or juice, and I knew that there was poison in that, I wouldn't say, oh, go ahead and drink it. I mean, I just want to love you. Mm-hmm. And if you want to drink the poison, you just go ahead. It's going to kill you, but, you know, I'm with you all the way. You know, right. That's not love. So I was explaining this to him. He said, I've never had it explained like that. And he said, thank you so much. And that night, he made a decision. He's been celibate ever since. And he's, you know, working in this beautiful relationship with God that he has and working through different things. And like Ashley Little so beautifully shared, it doesn't always happen overnight. Right. It's a renewal of the mind. Right. And because your emotions, your feelings are confusing you, right? Mm-hmm. But we need to be able to know what the truth is, like Ashley said, and be able to deliver it in love and through prayer, especially.
Absolutely. Love transforms.
Love does transform. Yeah. Now, there's a number of you I know that are, you have family members. You have family members who are in the lifestyle, mm-hmm. and you're a Christian, and you have read the Bible, and you realize, oh my gosh, this is not lining up. This is not alignment with God's purposes. What do you do about that? And especially if it's a son or a daughter. And so I want to introduce you to Debbie Billick, who's going to share her testimony of what happened with her in her household. Her daughter was raised in a Christian home, a loving home, and then went into the lifestyle. So there's many of you that are going to relate to this, and she's going to help you know what to do.
Hey, Patricia, I'm super excited and honored to be able to share a small piece of my heart regarding this topic. 3.5 years ago, my husband and I, we received a phone call that no Christian parent ever expects or dreams of receiving. And it was our beautiful, precious firstborn daughter on the other end of the line. And we heard the words, I'm gay. And it shattered our world to the core. It turned our perfect world upside down. And that first year, we did everything wrong. We were throwing scripture at her. We were telling her, you know better. And one day, I'm laying on the floor crying out before the Lord because I realize I'm losing my daughter. And I said, God, how do I show her my love for her? How do I show her partner your love for her without compromising your perfect standard of righteousness, your holy standard of righteousness? And I heard the Lord clearly say, it's the kindness of the Lord that will lead them to repentance. And I said, okay, God, but what does that kindness look like? And he reminded me, Debbie, I didn't make you change or ask you to change and then go to the cross for you and choose to love you. I chose to love you when you were still in your filthiness, where you were still in your rags, and I took your ashes and I turned them into beauty. And I want to do that the same for your daughter, for her partner, and for every person walking in the LGBTQ community. And I said, okay, God, but how do I show your kindness? How do I demonstrate your love? And he reminded me of the authority that I carry as a temple of the Holy Spirit. As a child of the living God, I carry his presence everywhere I go. And he began showing me that even as I just hug them and embrace them, I'm imparting something to them without even speaking a word. And then he reminded me that love is also loving them, but warring for them in the spirit realm. That's loving them, letting God fight the battle and win the battle. And I thought about Job 22:28, how it says, decree a thing and it will be established for you so that light will shine on your ways. Do I truly believe that when I decree a thing, it will be established for me? I have to say, yes, I choose to believe the word of God and what that looks like. And Isaiah 55:11, it says the word will not return void. It will go out and accomplish the very thing in which it was sent to prosper. And so I began decreeing the word, as Patricia's been so good at teaching us to do. And Lord, bring my daughter from the power of darkness to the power of light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. For I know the plans I have for Sarah, declares the Lord, plans to prosper her, not to harm her, plans for hope and a future. I'm choosing to believe that my daughter and her partner will live out the calling, the destiny that was ordained for them from the beginning of time when they were being formed in their mother's womb. They will live it out. They will walk in it because the Lord says it. Parents, don't grow weary. Continue loving, but battling in the spirit realm. The battle belongs to the Lord. Let him have the battle, and he always has the victory.
So good. We're not battling our kids. Right?
Right.
We're not battling their lifestyle. We're battling a spirit that's behind
right.
it. We're battling the deception. So we want to make sure that we don't create a battleground in between our family members
right.
in that. And, you know, as I was listening to Debbie, we know that there are women who have children and they are dealing with this issue mm-hmm. and the heartbreak that they feel. So Patricia, let's just pray for them
yeah.
right now.
Go for it, Michelle.
And Lord, we know that there is not a single child of your that has gone missing from your eyesight. God, they are in your hand. Nothing can snatch them from your hand. And that is the promise that you have made to the righteous parent. And God, I thank you that you continue to go after them. God, that they are not going to escape your kindness. They are not going to escape your love. God, that you are setting up things for them to have encounter with you time and time and time again, so that your love permeates every part of their being and changes and brings them back into the place of alignment with you.
Thank you.
God, I thank you because you never lose. And not one of these children are going to be lost to the designs of the enemy. We call forth the destinies that have been placed inside of these children, that they would be birthed inside of their heart, and that they would come back into that place of truth with you.
Amen. I just love what Debbie shared, you know, because it is a hard tension. And I feel like some of you that are watching this program are feeling the tension. Like, you love your children so much and you don't want there to be a gap in relationship. You don't want to lose them, you know. And so you're wondering, well, should I just go along with this or should I, you know, I just want to encourage you. You don't have to go along in order to be in love and
right.
speak the truth. You can have healthy boundaries and let them know why you have your boundaries, but you can still let them know how much they are loved. And it's the same in the workplace or in the marketplace. Like, it would be like anyone else who might, you know, be living in a way that is short of the glory of God, okay? So you might have someone in the workplace that maybe has a temper, or someone in the workplace that is living common law with someone, or, you know, different things. You would love them. You wouldn't isolate yourself from them. I mean, Jesus never isolated himself from you know, people that were fallen short of the glory of God. Praise the Lord that he didn't. He embraced them and yet remained separate. He remained holy. He remained, like, with God. And so, you know, we want to know how to act with people who are in belief systems that are not congruent with the Word of God. And it could be the same as sitting with a Muslim or a Buddhist or someone with a different belief system, even though that their deception is eventually going to hurt them or maybe already is hurting them. You're not going to cut them off. You're not going to be cruel to them. You're going to love them to life.
Right.
And so that might be a bit of a clue for you, you know, a little bit of a key. But another guest that we have on our program today is Kelly Master. And she's part of your network,
yes.
the Women in Ministry Network. And I love Kelly.
I do.
She has my heart. She goes into strip clubs and she works a lot with the transgender mm-hmm. community. And I love that. You know, when I was working in Thailand a lot, the transgender community is called Ladyboys there, and they have clubs and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked a lot with them, and I just love I love them. And their confusion has hurt them. I've sat down with many of them, and they might be happy on the outside, but there's stuff going on in there, and they need our compassion, and they need our love, you know. And I think that if we show the acceptance of God, not for what they're doing that is hurting them, but the acceptance of who they are as a created being before God, that it's going to go a long way. But let's listen to what Kelly Master has to say.
This is Kelly Master, and I run a nonprofit organization in Philadelphia and New Jersey, and we help women find hope and freedom from sexual trauma and addictions. Our ministry takes us into some incredible places. We go onto the streets where women are prostituting and doing drugs. We go into strip clubs and the adult bookstores and the pornography industry, and we've extended our reach into prisons as well. And a large majority of the women that we serve, they identify with the LGBT community, and that's what I want to speak about today. How do you effectively minister and reach women in the LGBT community? And my answer, honestly, is that you are intentional and that you share authentically the love of God. And how do you do that? You meet them where they are. You meet them on an equal playing field. You take a position of humility, and you take a position of love and serving them. You don't take a position that you're better than them because you're a Christian. We really want to wash their feet spiritually. And we have effectively reached into this community simply by loving without ulterior motives, just pouring ourselves out and serving this community authentically and letting them know that we believe in them, cheering them on, that we love them, that God loves them, that there is still destiny in them, that they have value regardless of where they find themselves in life. And they receive that. I call it building bridges. And when you love someone authentically, you will build a bridge of hope. You will build a bridge into a community that otherwise would build walls. And there's this one young lady. She's really precious. She works in a strip club where we visit, and we've known her for a few years, and we're really close. We really love her, and she loves us, and she comes to all of our events, and she comes and she listens to me preach, but she's a practicing Wiccan, and that's okay right now. I think of Rahab, who knew about God. She recognized the power of God. She recognized the favor of God, right? But she wasn't serving God yet. Well, this young lady, I went to her mom's funeral service, and when I walked in, she started saying, "Hey, my pastor's here," and I was looking around like, okay, where's her pastor? And she was referencing me. She wanted me to know that, and she told everyone that I was her pastor of love and her pastor of hope. So how do you reach a community of people that typically are repelled by God and repelled by Christians? You pour yourself out in love. That's how you do it. You pour yourself out in love.
You pour yourself out in love.
Beautiful.
And time again, when we look at the ministry of Jesus, we see where he was moved by compassion.
By compassion.
Right? And that puts us on a good field of a plane. You wanted to share, you had a story to share.
I do want to share this testimony because when we were in Thailand, we were, I met this beautiful person who was born again. They had been born again prior to being born again. They had grown up actually transgender. They identified with being a ladyboy from just a child and then got working as a prostitute in the strip clubs and everything, and then was dying of AIDS, and the Lord healed of the symptoms, although the virus was still apparent in the bloodstream, but there's no more symptoms. Mm-hmm. But they got gloriously born again. The thing is, right away when they got born again, their identity as a woman never changed. They were born a man, but they couldn't shift. Mm-hmm. So for 7 or 8 years, they were still dressing as a man, dressing as a woman. They weren't in sin anymore. They weren't, having sex with people. They weren't in strip clubs anymore doing it. This person was out preaching the gospel and leading people to the Lord. It was just beautiful, praying for the sick and everything, sharing their testimony. And so everyone just loved them as they were, didn't put the pressure on. They knew that God was doing a work from the inside out. It was overnight. They were in this environment, and the Lord said, I want you to start dressing like a man. They got their hair cut. They started dressing like a man, and even their voice.
Wow.
And everything went back. It was phenomenal. Wow. Because they'd been on hormones and that, so right. They came off the hormones. And the only thing that didn't get changed was they had breast implants put in, and the doctors didn't want to remove them surgically because they still had HIV in their bloodstream, even though it wasn't manifesting. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to take a chance on it. So, but he looked just like himself as a man with a man's voice, preaching the gospel, mm-hmm. and it was beautiful. But there had to be that patience right. involved, right? In the process, because it's a healing from the inside out.
Right.
There's so many components that are there. And I remember going into a club one night where there was, you know, a group of transgenders in there, and I was sharing the love of God, and I got to lead two of them to the Lord. Mm. And it was a real beautiful touch from God. They were weeping and just knew that they had a new life. So the next day was Sunday, so I invited them to come to church. And they came, and they were still dressed as women, and they put on their very best, and they came up and they said, we've never felt so loved in our whole life,
wow.
you know, and they were so touched, but they said, we have a question. We're confused. Like, what do we do? Cause we've had surgery. We've got treatments. Like, what do we do? Like, we know that we were born boys, but now we're girls. And what do we do? And I didn't know at that point how to answer them. And the Holy Spirit said, tell them this, that in Christ, there is no male nor female. In Christ, there is no male nor female. And I said, you know what? Right now, you don't have to be concerned about that. You just have to love Jesus and know that you're a brand new creation in Him. And He's going to transform you from the inside out. And He will show you what to do and when to do it. And it was the wisdom of God. And you could feel the Holy Spirit's love all over them. It was just so beautiful. And we kept in touch for a long time by emails and everything. They were just growing in the Lord so beautifully. But to be in that environment, to be, you know, we can make, you know, our thoughts like, okay, the Word says this, the Word says that, and we can be really dogmatic about it all. But if love doesn't invade our dogma,
right.
it is destructive rather
right.
than creative. And so speaking the truth in love and getting to know God's heart. And I know that this is a very difficult subject to breach, you know, mm-hmm. The scripture is clear, but what does love look like? And how do you deliver the truth in love? And how do you walk a person into freedom? So we would love to hear a lot of your comments. Just make sure they're loving comments. We don't want any bashing or any derogatory things spoken. Like we've got to be able to process in love, and there might be things that you heard today that you don't agree with. And I mean, that's fine. You have a right to disagree, and there might be some things that you want to add or some perspective that you want to give. And we would invite that. But just let it all be done in love. As we finish up today, Michelle's going to read a decree in a moment. But, before we do that, I just want to say that, you know, a lot of the reason why some people are broken within and falling into different traps is because they haven't been mentored, because they've had no one to love them and to speak into their life. And God is oiling mentorship in this hour. And so I just want to encourage you that if you're looking for a mentor, I would love to mentor you on my online mentorship called the A-Team. And you'll get courses every single month. And it's all online, and you can take it on demand. You can put as much into it or as little into it as you want. But the Word will empower you and equip you and set you free. And there's manuals and activations that go with it as well, plus a closed Facebook group exclusive only for those in the A-Team that we have interaction with, and a Q&A session once a month. So you can go on patriciaking.com and go to the A-Team tab and find out more about it, because I would love to mentor you. And just so you know, we'll just all come together in the arms of Jesus and receive His love together and His nurture together and get strong so that we can be a light in the darkness and reach out to those who are looking for Him in this hour. Michelle, you've got a decree.
I do. The hand of the Lord is mighty and saves. Nothing can snatch my child from His strong hand. You will contend with those who contend with me, and you will save my children. My
child is loved with an everlasting love, and you are drawing them to yourself with loving kindness, and they will be rebuilt. They will return from the land of the enemy and step into a future full of hope. My children will return and be restored.
Amen. That's so powerful. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Have a great week.
This has been a production of the Awakening Podcast Network. Jennifer LeClaire is the founder and owner of APN. Our heart is to inspire people and exalt Jesus with every broadcast. We're grateful for our advertisers and supporters that make these podcasts possible.